Hello and welcome to this episode of the Yellow and Blues podcast. We're back after a successful white ball win for India against England. We'll have a look at the ODI and thing. But joining me for this episode, as usual, is my co-host Venkat. Hello, Venkat. How are you?
Hi, Shini. I'm doing very well, thanks. How about you?
Yeah, very good. How are you enjoying the heat wave in the UK?
It's sweltering, but we are bound to deal with that. I mean, this is winter temperatures. So, yeah, it is. But the buildings here are not built for dealing with heat. So, it was not fun at all.
It would have been interesting, like the last ODI match played yesterday, if it had been scheduled for today or tomorrow.
Yeah, I think the government has issued guidelines, isn't it? I think they would have probably postponed it. I don't know. They don't do that when they travel to India. This is a pretty normal temperature. So, I don't know.
So, fans from India, players from India would have said, well, it's just a normal, you know, sort of playing in the summer in an IPL game or an earlier game. That would have been what it was equivalent to. But the temperature is really, really sweltering. So, before we look at the India series, India's victory, especially the last one, Pan's maiden century, etc., let's just quickly round up, as we normally do on this podcast, the news that's happening around the world. And the breaking news, if you like, announced this morning is Ben Stokes retiring from One Day International next week after playing the home game against South Africa. What did you make of that?
Yeah, I think it is bit shocking. I think from England's standpoint, he's a very crucial player. I think it speaks volumes about the scheduling and the taxing workload that players have to go through. I think also it speaks a little bit about the interest in white ball format for a marquee player like Ben Stokes. I think he clearly sees this as T20. He did say, I will still have energy to deal with T20 and tests. So I think it's the squeeze in the middle for ODI.
The big, as you say, you know, it was surprising, you know, hearing that news this morning. But there's a wider conversation here rather than just Ben Stokes, isn't it? All players from all countries that play, you know, all three formats. We've seen Chiteshwar Pujara probably in India, Jimmy Anderson, Stuart Broad, etc. They've kind of slightly gone that route organically rather than being asked to, like, you know, choose in terms of they become test format only players. They don't play any kind of international T20, any kind of international white ball. They become specialist, and then there are obviously, like, you know, a few others probably you would look at in West Indies who you'd say, like, you know, are predominantly white ball specialists. Kieran Pollard comes to mind, who don't play test. But then there are the likes of your Rohit Sharma, Virat Kohli, Jasprit Bumrah. Possibly you can add in Hardik Pandya into that, you know, while Rishabh Pant, you know, looking at it from an Indian perspective, probably. Not so much again, I guess, Ashwin, because he's not really played that much in terms of international T20 and white ball, although he is in the plans.
In the squad,
yeah. Yeah, in the squad and run. And again, I think you look at Pakistan, probably Babar Azam's probably another example. And similarly,
most players in New Zealand.
Yeah, most players in New Zealand, Kane Williamson, etc. So there is obviously a number of these players who play all three formats, and juggling all three formats, something has got to give. And it's, we say all three formats, and we're talking about just all three formats from an international perspective, but then take the likes of your the Indian players and the New Zealand players, for example, to an extent as well, who also play in IPL.
Yeah.
And there's a few others you would probably say who not only play in, I mean, at least Indian players only play IPL, even though it's a really long tournament, etc. There are others, some of the other players who actually even travel to the likes of the BBL, PSL.
Yeah. PSL, Bangladesh League. There is, I mean, West Indies CPL.
Yeah.
I think most popular is CPL Vitality Blast or this tournament that happens in the UK, and then that's not doesn't have so much international players, but Australian. So I think that what I hear what you're saying. So you're saying that there is ODI, there is T20 internationals, but there is also the league T20s across various franchise cricket, as you might say, and then there is Test. I think like you know, like the marquee events, Warner Gasker Trophy or
the Ashes.
Yeah.
India, so England.
Plenty of cricket, and I think yeah, you can only sustain, especially if likes have just quit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't.
And to some extent, this is not just, I mean, it's like, you know, even the product, you know, cricket has become more moved away from sport. Now it's a product that is like, you know, a multi-billion industry, if you like, you know.
Yeah.
And even from a fan's perspective, you will reach saturation at some point in the sense of how much is too much, you know, both from a television perspective and equally, you know, fans actually going in and paying the money and, you know, going through the turnstiles. I mean, looking at some of the prices here in England for some of the games, the India
when
games.
When was eye-watering, even on the cheaper stand, it was like 100 quid for a T20 for a family. That is, I mean, per ticket for a family. That's like a mortgage.
So, all of that, yeah, it does definitely, you know, I think Stokes probably not be the first person to do. Obviously, he's kind of looked at it from a white ball perspective. He's looked at it in some ways. I know he's mentioned the fact that, you know, he doesn't feel like he can give 100% and therefore he doesn't want to block somebody else who's coming into the England team.
I think a diplomatic response, Vinny. Obviously, you can't just say, you know what, I don't see this thing is too taxing without being. I think it's a politically correct statement.
But just slightly looking at it in a slightly different way, you know, and we'll probably segue or touch on about this when we talk about the India England white ball series. But, you know, you can suddenly see like the England white ball team that really went up and, you know, eventually won the World Cup. It's kind of starting to like not necessarily plateau or quickly fall down, but the complete change is beginning to happen, you know, with Morgan gone. Stokes now going, and obviously Rashid wasn't there in the series. You know, he's probably back for South Africa, but you will suddenly see, like, you know, the focus shifting up, you know, sort of the new regime in England. And you know, they've started with a loss against India, and that's changing, you know, sort of slightly. That'll be interesting. Staying in kind of with the same theme of, you know, too much cricket, etc. The FTP, the Future Tours program for the years 2023 to 2027, it's not yet been officially announced, but I think Cricinfo have already got out the, like, you know, draft version, like the final draft version. So there might be like a slight odd tweak here and there, but it feels like it's more or less the version that's going to be. The big news for me there is the fact that the IPL and IPL's got like a 2.5 month window, but also, like, you know, other tournaments have been almost kind of got a distinctive. You've got a T20 league calendar.
Yeah, I think that is one thing that stands out, is that this has almost got a, it's moved beyond the franchise cricket and it's almost the mainstream that the ICC is starting to look at this as a regular feature with Australia, Pakistan, India, and then probably Bangladesh, and then going into CPL. I think that's the window of opportunity that there is in terms of very, very little international cricket between March end to June start. There's very little cricket, I would say.
Yeah. I think that's been like almost cleared out, like, you know, the window for IPL, that there is no international cricket happening at that point in time.
Yeah.
And possibly, I think similarly for the 100 as well, the August, September, they've cleared out a window where there's no. But if you look at it from the other side of it, almost from December till June, there is a continuous T20 league going on somewhere or the other, starting from the BBL in December.
Yeah.
On to like Bangladesh and South Africa and UAE in January, and then into February, Bangladesh goes in. Then the PSL starts in February, March is PSL, and then in March, as it winds down, you start the IPL going up until June, and then you have a break in July, and then August. The league that kind of announces the August is the 100 in the Lanka Premier League, followed by CPL in September. But realistically, although there's a gap according to the calendar in July, but you also have the Vitality T20 Blast.
Yeah.
That runs generally like, you know, sort of June, July-ish.
Yes.
Culminating in sort of, you know, before the 100, the finals day, it tends to happen. So you've got like almost, other than the October, November space, there's a year-long, unlike your Premier League or, you know, Champions League or the La Liga, etc. in football, which were like a single league runs all year long or to a majority part. This is like, you know, T20 leagues have basically slotted in to run a T20 league at different points across. So basically, somebody who wants to be a pure T20 league circuit player can play all year long.
Kieran Pollard will be really happy.
Tim David's the other name that comes to think, you know, comes to mind straight away.
Yeah, I mean, players like this can make a living. Not only the players, but also the staff, supporting staff, coach, analytic. There's a whole load of, you know, machinery that can, you know, that will travel from different places. And it's good. And then there is all other tournaments, the Abu Dhabi T10 and this and that.
Yeah, there's those ones. You think about the likes of not just, you know, Tector, for example, in Ireland. His performance against both India and New Zealand was phenomenal. You know, somebody like him will get picked into one of these leagues, and then he just becomes like, you know, plays long, because unless Ireland actually get to play a number of tests, I haven't looked at the FTP to see what tests actually Ireland have got in the next next cycle. But somebody like those, you know, they can get valuable experience by playing into all of these leagues and developing themselves.
There will be also clear demarcation between international players. I think, barring the exceptions that we just discussed, but there will be people who will be evolving themselves as purely test match players and purely, you know, T20 players. I don't know where the ODI league, ODI stands and what relevance it has amongst this this much cricket. I just don't know. But one of the things that I want to touch upon is that Tri-Series in ODI is going to be back, the FTP. And so that should probably add a little bit of life to that format.
It should, but again, I mean, whether the T20 World becomes like, you know, more a World Cup to World Cup and possibly the ODI, the triangular series, anything to bring life into that is probably interesting. But just looking at the tests, just the top nine, if you look, what have India got? India in the next 2 years basically have New Zealand, England, and Bangladesh at home, and then traveling away to Australia, West Indies, and South Africa. So this is obviously from the 2023 onwards. So for that's the first World Test Championship, the 2023 to 2025. And then
they're not touring anytime to England, that is sure.
Not until 2025.
Yeah.
So it's most likely will be the next one in 2026, another 4 years, which is when actually India hosts Australia, West Indies, South Africa at home.
Yeah.
And our way to New Zealand, England, and Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
Interesting to look at that. Like, you know, whereas if you look back at the previous years, we almost used to like play exclusively at home and then travel away to Sena. So there used to be a period where we were like, you know, playing away in those countries and then playing home. So there used to, whereas this over the next 4 years looks like we've got New Zealand and, well, we've got Australia and West Indies. Well, no, we've got two countries away, if you like, Australia and South Africa. And then in the other cycle, we've got England and New Zealand. So which will be spread in between far away. I mean, maybe Australia and South Africa might be like this kind of back-to-back. we go away to Australia and to South Africa.
Yeah, probably using the winter.
Yeah, the alternate
calendar of Southern Hemisphere.
So it's each year you probably play them, you know, rather than so this year you play Australia and then the next year you play South Africa away. And probably England and New Zealand will be similar. So it's it kind of fits in nicely for India to, like, you know, having a combination of home and away to play some of these marquee series.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's good for watching test cricket if you are, especially in this part of the world, nothing much happens during the November, December, January
time. Yeah.
And so for us, it will be good.
So, yeah, 38 tests scheduled for India. In fact, England still play the most tests with 42.
Like the most, can you beat it?
42 and Australia 41. It's good to see, like, you know, New Zealand actually having 32 tests, like, so, which means they will play a lot of their tests as well. Possibly Pakistan and all have, like, got less. Again, the other one big news out of that is the fact that the India-Australia Border Gavaskar Trophy now is going to move from 4 tests to 5 tests.
Yeah, that's really good, isn't it? I mean, I think it deserved that because both teams are competing at the highest possible. I mean, 10, 15 years ago, you wouldn't have said that
it would be
a contest, but now it's more evenly fought.
And the India-England is already 5 tests, so it'll be a good competition. So we should know more about that in the next few weeks in terms of, you know, the full FTP calendar is published and we can start marking our calendars in terms of, you know, where India is traveling. Talking about traveling, before we come back to the white ball series and look at the review of that, let's just look at, you know, India obviously finished the white ball and they moved on to West Indies.
Yeah.
So looking at India's to West Indies. I think we touched about this in previous episodes in terms of the squads, etc. The Indian squad, there's obviously a different squad for white ball and a different squad for the T20, again, led by two different captains.
That was like a completely different team. I mean, of course, you still have the familiar faces. I mean, the ones that have been carried over, if you Shreyas Iyer, Ravindra Jadeja, Mateo, Prateek Krishna, Thakur and Dhawan. I think that's all. The rest all Avesh Khan, Ashdeep Singh, I forgot to mention Siraj. But you see all the top players, top in terms of from the main team. Rohit, Rahul, can I say Virat Kohli? Built up, yes.
Virat Kohli is actually not there for either of the in either of the squads and is rested at go home. I mean,
yeah, but the point here is two teams are two different characters, and I think it's a good recognition for Shikhar Dhawan as well. I mean, leading India is not a joke. I mean, you've got to be one in a billion to do that, Yeah, it would be good to see how they fare against West Indies. I would not think that they would have trouble, but mind you, they are missing some key players who have been the enforcers, especially like the Rishabh Pant, Hardik Pandya, Rakhil Rahul, Rohit and Virat. That's a good team, and if without that, you are almost team.
Yeah, just looking at the T20 squad, although we open with the ODI squad first. The ODI is first, you know, Shikhar Dhawan. The interesting thing for me here in the ODI, I don't know, because, you know, whether we're thinking, well, it's not up until the next year that there's no Hardik Pandya there. Whereas Hardik Pandya, etc., is in the T20 squad. I'm not even sure, like, you know, the ODIs mean anything.
Yeah, that's exactly the point, isn't it? If you look at it in the light of Ben Stokes' retirement, it means that, you know, we'll send somebody to play the ODI series because the World Cup is in. The important focus is the World Cup, and so these guys, I think the thinking behind that is let them get practice for against West Indies bowlers in the World Cup, because mind you, West Indies are a formidable team still in the T20 on a given day, anything happens. So I think what they have done, BCC have done, in my opinion, is carried for some of these players who needed that kind of reinforcement and practice so that they can carry over to the World T20, whereas with ODI, these guys all enjoy a nice Caribbean holiday.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the T20 squad, it kind of tells me, you know, it's fine-tuning the 15 for Australia. That essentially, yeah, that is what this is. It's exactly a five-match T20 series, fine-tuning. Yeah. But the fact that, I mean, KL Rahul coming back, he's not coming back to the ODI, but the T20 is a good, you know, so hopefully KL Rahul gets to play all five games. I don't know if this is, whether we are reading, I'm reading too much into this, or whether it's a sign that Kohli is not going to Australia or is unlikely to go to Australia. Because if I look at this T20 squad and see, like, you know, sort of Rohit Sharma and KL Rahul to open the bat, open the batting in terms of 1 and 2. Number 3, possibly in here, from here you can pick Ishan Kishan or Shreyas Iyer, whichever way you want to look at it. But let's just go, for the sake of an argument, let's go Ishan Kishan as 3.
Yeah.
And then you've got Sky batting at 4, followed by Pant at 5, Hardik Pandya at 6, Ravindra Jadeja at 7, Bhuvneshwar Kumar 8. They obviously haven't got Chahal here, but I'm assuming Chahal will probably be your 9, and Bumrah isn't in here. Bumrah probably 10, and you're looking at one more batsman, unless I've missed Jadeja. So,
yeah,
Dinesh Karthik probably. Sorry, Dinesh Karthik probably sticks in at, like, you know, sort of 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And this is where, like, you know, I know I've been saying this for a while now in terms of Kohli shouldn't be picked for the, because if you think about it, he gets picked up for Australia as a member of a squad. You can't, if he's on the squad, he has to be in your first 11.
Yeah.
Whereas right now, I would probably put him more as a squad player than a first 11 player.
Not in the current form. Most definitely, yes. Most teams would.
Because let's look at our first 11 for that opening game in the T20 World Cup. You know, you would say Rohit tick, Rahul tick,
Surya Kumar Yadav or Ishan
Kishan. I mean, but if Kohli is not available, 3.
Yeah.
You're sticking Dinesh Karthik in there, 4, for example. Rishabh Pant, 5. Hardik Pandya, 6. Ravindra Jadeja, 7. Bhuvi at 8. Chahal at 9.
Or Bishnoi, whoever comes out.
Pant, actually, I missed it. Pant, isn't it? Pant.
Yeah, but you did say 6, but
Ravindra Jadeja then 6, and you know 7 will be,
yeah,
where Jadeja will be, and 8 will be Bhuvneshwar, and 9 Chahal, 10 Bumrah, and number 11 is possibly another bowler.
Yeah, Mohammad Shami.
Probably not. Yeah, more likely Harshal Patel or
Harshal Patel. Yeah,
one of those guys. Or even if you wanted to have a second spinner, you know, in Australia, Ravi Bishnoi, etc. So,
why card in Umran Malik? Who knows?
Possibly, like, you know, it's kind of interesting to see that either one of those people, you know, Shreyas Iyer, Dinesh Karthik, whoever, has to drop out for Kohli, and you would say Shreyas Iyer probably yes, but I would probably right now bat Dinesh Karthik over Kohli.
I think even Kohli himself would bat Dinesh Karthik.
So, the challenge.
I mean, he is the captain. He knows his this thing form. I think, yeah. I don't know if he would. There is a sharp resignation coming from Kohli, saying, "Okay, I'm not going to be part of this," with the view of focusing my test on ODI. I don't know. I just don't know.
I would. This year, I would hope so, because I think he's too big for the selectors to drop it unless they make a really bold call. I mean, you look at all the noise that's coming out, whether it's from Rohit Sharma, Ganguly, everybody else is like, you know, oh yeah, Kohli will be back, Kohli will be, they're all backing Kohli. And you get it, why, you know, because there is no denying
he's box office. You know, he brings in people, bumps to the seats, wherever it is. So I understand what you're saying, but there is T20 is a ruthless format. So if you consume 10, 12 deliveries or even 20 deliveries to get, let's say, 25 runs, you have basically, taken the game out. Whereas if you give those 20 balls to Dinesh Kartik at the end of the innings, that could be 35-40. That's the trade-off that they have to do. And he doesn't bring in anything else. Like Jadeja brings excellent, of course, bowling options. Pandya does give you some options, whereas Kohli is better.
So, would be interesting to see how India go with that. You know, I suspect, you know, after this there isn't a lot of T20s for India. So this is where they are fine tuning and, you know, getting a better idea of what their squad is. Coming back to, you know, let's just quickly look at the India England series. I mean, three different games, you would say. Three different performances by both teams. You know, the first one, it was won by the bowlers, you know, bowling England out for under 120, and then a straightforward 10-wicket victory. The second game, slightly different again, where you thought India were definitely in the game, but India ended up, I still feel India ended up missing that game rather than, you know, England won. Yeah, you could say 6-4 for Rhys Topley, wasn't it? Yeah, left arm.
Rhys Topley. 6-4. He got a 6-4, but I think if you look at it, bad review by Sharma, Dhawan, you know, trying to, like, I mean, chop down. And then the tail, okay? Let's not forget Yadav. I mean, I understand Suri Kumar Yadav. He got the top three, but the bottom three as well. Shami, Chahal, and Krishna.
So, obviously, Rishabh, it did, like, you know, that second game, you know, when Rishabh Pant seemed so fiddly when he came into bat, you know, it just didn't look convincing at all that, you know, he might get run. As opposed to the last game where, at one point he was, what was it? I think 6 or something of 20 balls or something like that.
Yeah.
Which was a completely different batting performance from him, you know, in comparison to the third game. And then in the end he caught up on it. And partially, maybe this, I mean, obviously this first ODI century for Rishabh Pant, you know, kind of gives him a good, what's what I'm looking for in terms of, you know where, you know, that that Sydney test, I was comparing, like, you know, similarities in the sense of the Sydney test. He came down against Lyon, and then a stumping was missed, and then he ended up, like, you know, in fact he came down the next ball again and hit Lyon for 6, and he ended up winning the Sydney test, and from there on he's just gone leaps and bounds in terms of his test batting, whether it's scoring hundreds in South Africa, scoring hundreds in England, etc. And hopefully this one day 100 does the same thing for him, because he was, like, you know, we knew what kind of player he was, but he was just not doing that in ODI. It'd be
good. I think you're absolutely spot on. Whether I don't think he reads too much into these things, you know, the duck and the 100 must have meant the same to him. Because immediately after 100, he was playing blitzed and third ODI against the Rappers bowler, hitting 5 boundaries, taking a single and hitting.
Yeah, I think it's David Billy, isn't it?
Yeah, so I think, I think whether we want it or not, he's an unstoppable force in world cricket now. He's turning out to be the person he was able to replace. I would go out on him. Except for his consistency and unorthodoxy, I think that if that he is able to channel better, I think he has. I see that it's all settled out yesterday. I think that somebody, my daughter or my wife, was saying he's going to be definitely the future captain for India.
Yeah, I mean, this reminds me of, like, you know, again, going back to, like, the Virat Kohli's BB series against Sri Lanka, you know, triangular series that we were playing in Australia, and he chased down the 300. That sort of, in a way, was the making of Virat Kohli in ODI, even though he had scored runs. And after that, he was, like, you know, an unstoppable force in terms of going on to do, like, he'd almost returned the art, returned the manual of, you know, how to chase since after that. And then went on to become captain, and you know, and all of those things. And this tour overall may well be the making of Rishabh Pant in that sense.
Yeah, I think it must have been good if we turned up on the second ODI as well. I think barring that collapse that we had. But in the third ODI, at no point during the chase, I mean, I've watched Indian cricket for 35 years, and then I can tell you, if you had the four top four get out, there's very rarely, I mean, you had those exceptions like Yuvraj Singh and Mohammad Kaif chasing down, and then, but this chase, Hardik Pandya and
Rishabh Pant,
no point looked like, yep, this game is over. I mean, England almost, you know, kind of gave up when they had even 100 runs to get. You could see that they were scrambling around with bowling changes, and these guys were completely, even when Hardik Pandya got out, I mean, I think the belief in the players was super high that they could just finish it.
So, anyway, a good series. The test series ended up being a 2-2 draw, which in reality, if not for that rain in the last year, Nottingham on the first test last year, we may well have actually won the test series. Last year itself would have been leading 3-1, and you know, this would just have been in a formality. But anyway, the scorebook basically reads 2-2. The white ball in the T20I series again, you know, oh sorry, the ODI and the T20I, good thing we won both 2-1. So, in some ways, gone are the days when, you know, India used to come to England, for example, whether it's a test or an ODI and this thing, oh yeah, if you win the odd match, it's a great thing. It's almost like now the expectations change to say, we expect India to win the series, whether it's test, white ball, whichever format they're playing in.
Yeah. I saw a tweet which I think the Bharat Army had tweeted, which said that there was some white, you know, on a swing, which said English meeting the Bharat Army tweeting about Kohli, and then there is a fire in the background. England losing ODI is at home. And that kind of summarizes this whole thing for me. There is too much focus on one individual, but they've kind of lost sight of doing the important things right.
Yeah, it will be. I think even this. I mean, we're slightly moving away from kind of the India, you know, centric podcast into just talking about this whole baseball thing as well. It's all well and nice, you know, in terms of the baseball. I still think, you know, South Africa aren't the team of, you know, the past year, Graham Smith and Sean Pollock kind of thing. So England may still comfortably win this series against South Africa starting, you know, later in next month. But it'll be interesting to see how baseball turns out when they actually travel to the subcontinent in Pakistan later at the end of this year. Because the whole attitude of playing cricket will be like slightly different there on the pitches and etc. You know, in terms of,
it's not the same. It's really funny things. Pakistan has always played basketball cricket.
They probably always play, like, you know, from the days of Shahid Afridi and before as well, you know. So, but that will be interesting later this year. You know, we'll keep an eye out. Anyway, so in terms of I guess India, the train goes, the flight moves on to from England to West Indies and start on Friday, the first of three ODIs, followed by five T20. We'll definitely keep a close eye on the ODIs and the T20s, and in terms of preparation for the World Cup ahead. So with that, we'll wind up this roll up, end this podcast.
Last but not least, Srini, I just want to quickly slide in, we have a Commonwealth game coming up in India, women against women.
Yeah.
That's Birmingham. Interesting as well. We'll keep an eye on that.
Yeah, we'll definitely keep an eye on. We can probably do a quick sort of, you know, look ahead to that next week on the next episode of the podcast. Meanwhile, you know, do leave your reviews and comment about the podcast on Spotify. Any feedback that you give us, you know, will help us to improve this podcast. We are on Twitter at Yellow and Blues, and you can follow us on Twitter and interact with us. So until next week.